Tonight I'd like to look at 1 Timothy 4, verses 12 and following. Paul's writing to a young man that obviously is in a stressful situation. He has some folks that are looking to him and some folks that are despising him. Some folks that are helping him and some people that are hindering him. Because he's young, Paul tells Timothy, let no one despise your youth. But he could just as easily say, don't let anyone despise your age. Don't let anyone despise your gender. Don't let anyone despise anything about you. But he says, Timothy, you're a Christian. You need to be an example of the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and purity. Now that's a day's work right there. We need to think about it. I am an example to my neighbors. I'm an example to everybody I run into contact with. They'll look at me and say, that's how a Christian acts. That's how a Christian talks. That's how a Christian loves. That's how a Christian gets discouraged and frustrated and gives up. That's how a Christian is pure. They should be able to look at you and say, that's exactly how a Christian acts. And then he tells us how we do it. Because I want to tell you folks, that's a hard job to understand that you're an example. We do live in a goldfish bowl. Your neighbors know, your coworkers know whether or not you leave the house on every Wednesday night, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night. They know whether you use language that you shouldn't, whether you do things that you shouldn't. And he said, the way to do this, Timothy, is till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. He says, Timothy, there's no little green pill that you can take. It doesn't come automatically. Just because you're the friend of an apostle, just because you are closely associated with a great Christian man, Timothy, you need to give attention to reading. You need to spend some time with the book. You need to give attention to exhortation. What he's talking about there is the encouragement that we can get by attending worship, by attending classes, by associating with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And he says, then you need to give attention to doctrine or to teaching. You see, we're not just to be a sponge sucking all this in. We're to give attention to teaching, too, to doctrine. We have an obligation and a response. Not everybody can stand in a pulpit and deliver a lesson. Not everybody can teach a class. But everybody can teach. Some mostly by examples. But you still need to be able to give a reason for the hope that's within you, Peter tells us. And the only way to do that is give attention to reading. And then he tells us in verse 14 something very important. Do not neglect the gift that's in you, that's given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. That gift he's talking about is not a miraculous gift. Elders didn't pass on miraculous gifts. Apostles did. He says, every one of us have gifts, and we are not to neglect those gifts. Well, I can't do everything, so I can't do anything. I can't lead a song, or I can't lead a prayer, or I can't preach or teach, so I can't do anything. He said, don't you do that, Timothy. You recognize you can do some things. And the gift, the job that was given to you by the teaching, by the prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the eldership, you do it. And as he ends this section, he said, you meditate on these things. He's pretty well telling Timothy, I'm giving you a heavy load to think about here. This is something you need to meditate on. You need to think about it. Give yourself entirely to them. Many times we like to keep back a little part of ourselves. You know, well, I'm entitled to this. But we need to know that if we give ourselves entirely to these things of being an example of not neglecting the gift but carrying it forward, he said, then your progress will be evident to all. Again, we live in a goldfish bowl. And if we're growing, people will see that we're growing. And if we're not, people will see that too. They'll see they don't know any more than they did a year ago or 2 years ago or 5 years ago. They're not any more involved than they used to be. Maybe they're even less. They're not reading and studying any more than they used to. But you take heed to yourself, he says, and to the teaching, and continue in them. Now, here's the reason for the whole thing. In doing this, you'll both save yourself and those who hear you. We each and every one of us are responsible for saving ourselves in the sense of obeying God and being where and who he wants us to be. And then that sets the example for those who hear us to want to follow along. As you look at yourself and you think about this past week, past month, have I been describing you tonight? Have you been giving attendance to reading, to prayer, to study? Have you been an example of in faith and purity and love? If not, you need to repent. Because that's the only way we can save ourselves and those that hear us. Can we pray with you while we stand and while we sing?